Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. For those who wish to challenge anything I've said thus far today, for those who would like to contribute to what I have said today, I would encourage you to call at 877-300-7645. I'm going to do something today that we have not done thus far on this program, which is that I'm going to continue with the news topic through the second hour. And I am going to do so because it is the lead story of the day. And chances are that there are less than two or three, perhaps as many as five people in America, maybe even English-speaking people in the world, that know what I know about Islam and therefore are in a position to tell you the truth. And so because of what happened today and how repulsive it is, particularly in the proximity of the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 suicide bombings by enraged fundamentalist Muslims screaming Allahu Akbar, I think it's appropriate that we stay on topic. And hopefully this archive of this today's program can be shared with those seeking to understand why our American diplomats were murdered. It's the least we can do for Sean Smith and for his children that he has left behind. It is the least we can do for Ambassador Stevens, who had the courage to go back into a building that was on being attacked by Muslim jihadists to try to save the people that worked with him and for him. Well, we're going to return now to the article that was published yesterday. This is from the BBC, so that we know what these idiots were protesting. It's a 14-minute trailer, not even a movie. It's a 14-minute trailer for an English-language film, which was posted on YouTube in July. It didn't attract any attention until last week. A version dubbed into Arabic was posted on the same YouTube channel and then copied and viewed by tens of thousands of people. Although there was initial confusion about who made the film, the Wall Street Journal reported that the drama entitled Innocence of Muslims was produced and directed by an Israeli. An Israeli-American, it says here. Whether or not he has dual citizenship, I don't know. But an Israeli who may be living in America, maybe a dual citizen. His name is Sam Vasili. He's a California real estate developer who called Islam a cancer in an interview. Now, of course, the BBC is now trying to blame Sam for this because of his choice of cancer. I used the same term earlier in the show. It is impossible to be aware of what the five earliest Islamic sources reveal and to be aware of what Islam has wrought on the world and not recognize that it is the most deadly disease ever conceived by man. Cancer is too kind. Mind you, Islam corrupted Arabs to the point that peace-loving people, people that not one historical footnote anywhere in the world, not one jot or tittle had ever been written about Arabs being barbarians, about Arabs being terrorists, about Arabs being mass murderers, about Arabs being kidnappers and thieves. Not one word from any of the civilizations around Arabia. Not from Persia, not from Babylon, not from Assyria, not from the Hittites, not from the Medes, not from Israel, not from Egypt. Nothing. All the way through the 7th century, not a word. Hostile to the behavior of Arabs. And then Muhammad invents Islam by blending a bastardized version of the Jewish Talmud and pagan traditions in his country. And as a result of that cancer, Muslims become barbarians. Before Muhammad's death, in the first 10 years of the Islamic era, these first Muslims killed, raped, and enslaved every Jew within camel ride of Medina and Mecca. Then they began to terrorize Arabs once they had overhunted Jews. And in the end, they turned their attention to a Byzantine Christian outpost because they had overhunted Arabs, terrorizing them, robbing them, slaving them. Muhammad dies, and immediately there is the war of compulsion, where every Arab is forced under the sword to surrender to Islam or die. Following the war of compulsion, in the next 100 years, Muslims become the world's worst savages, the worst savages in world history. And as barbarians, they race out of the Arabian Peninsula, both east and west, murdering millions, fleecing, robbing the world. All the way from India on one side to Morocco on the other. That is the savagery of this religion. And now if you want to look at what this cancer does, how it destroys, look at those nations dominated by Muslims, and you will see the most impoverished nations on earth, the most enraged nations on earth, the least civil nations on earth, the least inventive nations on earth, the least free nations on earth. Look at them. All you have to do is open your eyes, and you can see the cancer that is this religion. It is obvious. And what would we typically do when somebody, when populations are infected with a disease? Do we praise the disease? Do we feed the disease? Do we nurture the disease? Do we reward the disease? Do we say, great disease, keep on going? Which is what we're doing now with this disease that is Islam. Or do we have the good sense, the compassion, to extricate the disease, to identify the disease, to note what conditions this disease thrives and thus kills? Do we expose the truth about this disease so it can be arrested, so it doesn't continue to kill? What is it in our character that prevents us from identifying the truth and saving people? Have we become so immoral, so inept, so apathetic? Has our character dumped to the place that we don't care that a disease is crippling 1.5 billion people? And then as a result of that disease, they want to kill the rest of us? Do we just not care? Well, this man, Sam Basile, a California real estate developer, had the good sense, he had the courage to call Islam a cancer. And yet the BBC doesn't have the good sense to say he was right. Mr. Basile told the Wall Street Journal that he'd raised $5 million from about 100 Jewish donors and shot the two-hour movie in California last year. Now, why Jewish donors? Who are the first victims of Islam? Jews. Muhammad, because Islam is so debilitating, Muhammad was incapable of producing any economic prosperity for the people who were the first adherents to his new religion. And so the Jews, the Muslims, were desperate. And the only source of productivity were the Jews. And the Jews were kind enough to loan the Muslims money. But because the Jews charged them a modicum of interest, which is what sane people do with loaning people money, and the Muslims couldn't pay it back and didn't want to pay it back, they killed them. But beyond that, most of the Quran is either plagiarized from Hanif, the pagan Arabs who lived in Yathrib and other places in the Arabian Peninsula, plagiarizing their pagan lore. Or later it became a twisted and bastardized version of the Talmud. And the reason it was the Talmud is because the Jews living in Yathrib weren't Torah observant, as most Jews are today. They're not Torah observant. They don't observe the Torah. They adhere to their Talmud. And so the Jews in Yathrib, because Muhammad was illiterate, and Muhammad needed something to justify his religion, to make his religion sound credible, had the Jews in Yathrib, the rabbis, narrate to him Talmud stories. And then he took those Talmud stories and he twisted them and bastardized them to create much of his Quran. And the Jews were mocking him and say, wait a minute, you're not only taking our Talmud and pretending it was a divine revelation to you, but you got all your facts wrong. And they mocked him. And for that, Muhammad, who was insecure, decided that the only right thing to do with them, his benefactors, was to kill them, just as happened in Libya, where America is the benefactor of Libya, just as it is in Egypt, and the decision was to kill them. Dead men tell no tales. That is how this cancer began to grow. And from that point, Muhammad and his goons raided every Jewish settlement within camel ride of Yathrib, today's Medina. And the Quran and the Hadith confirmed that they murdered the men. They enslaved the children. They raped the women. Now, some 1,300 years later, as Muslims uniformly threaten to destroy Israel, that Muslims who have waged war against Israel almost nonstop. If you were a Jew, would you care enough for your own children that you would expose the anti-Semitic mantra that is Islam? It's like being a Jew in Nazi Germany and reading Mein Kampf and realizing that it is an anti-Semitic rant that sought to destroy and kill and murder Jews, and saying, you know, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. Let's just ignore it. The problem will go away. Well, the Quran is more anti-Semitic than was Hitler's Mein Kampf. It is more violent than was Hitler's Mein Kampf. What are the Jews to do? To ignore it, hoping that it'll just go away after 1,300 to 1,400 years of proof of the opposite? I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We will return to this same story after the break. Program is Shattering Myths on the Genesis Communication Network. Today was a horrible day where we learned that Muslim jihadists operating under the name Ansar al-Sharia, which means the Friends of Sharia, the most repulsive legal system in the world because it was based upon the life of the most repulsive man who ever lived, Muhammad, murdered five Americans, including the American ambassador. And we also know a man who is a husband, a father of two. And we're examining what it is that enraged the Muslims, what it was, what disease that existed within them to cause the most fundamentalist adherents to the Islamic religion to behave in this horrible way. Particularly on the eve of 9/11, where not one in a thousand Americans understands who killed 3,000 innocent Americans on that day. Still 11 years later, and we are clueless as a nation as to the nature of Islam and its role in those murders. This is a day that we're devoting the entire show to this story. Now, before I rejoin the story, I want to provide a bit of perspective. You may note a tone of frustration maybe even anger in my voice, because I care deeply about this. I feel passionately about the Muslims who have been poisoned by this horrid religion, by this repulsive man named Muhammad. I care about them enough to risk my life to tell them the truth, that Islam is a lie. It's disgusting. And I prove it in Prophet of Doom. I encourage you to read it. And for all of the non-Muslims in the world, you need to know the same thing that these Jews knew who financed this film. That putting your head in the sand, that ignoring the truth is deadly. That if you aren't willing to shed your ignorance about this religion and come to know it as it is, and then speak up against it. If you're not willing to do that, you're sacrificing the lives of your very children, of your family. Because this religion will not relent. It will continue to fight and to kill, to terrorize, to murder, to rape. It will continue to be enraged until good and moral people take a stand against it. This is not a stand that can be fought with bullets and bombs. Do not think that you can respond to this fire with more fire. Killing only makes it worse. There is only one weapon that can be wielded at this religion which will be effective. And when it is wielded by the majority will prevail. And that is the truth. That is what this film attempted to do. Is revealed the truth. That is what the media here and the BBC article is attempting to hide, is the truth. The reason the Muslims were enraged is that the truth destroys their religion. The reason I have so many death threats against my life is because I wrote Prophet of Doom, which uses exclusively Muhammad's own words and deeds to condemn the religion. The truth is destructive. It is caustic. It is the most effective weapon to be wielded against this cancerous disease called Islam. Now, for those that think that religions are good things, God begs to differ. God damn religion. God hates religion. Not just the Islamic religion, every religion. Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism. Why? Because religions render people irrational. They lead everyone away from him. They are beguiling. They are corrupting. Religion is a horrible disease that God hates. God, whose name is Yahweh, has only one desire. It's only one thing he wants. He created the entire universe and all life in it for a singular thing. That's his covenant. His covenant is based upon family. He wants to adopt those who choose to know him and to love him, those who choose to avail themselves of his terms and conditions and benefits associated with the covenant, with eternal life, adopting them, perfecting them, enriching them, helping them grow, lifting them up, powering them, saving them, enjoying their company. God wants us to come to know him as he is. He wants us to learn about him from his Torah teaching. He wants us to embrace the terms and conditions of his covenant so that he can reward us with all of its wondrous blessings. And religion, all of them, lead away from the very thing that God wants. The only thing that God wants. And so if you're sensing that I'm angry at religion, so is God. Shattering Mist. I am your host, Yada, here on the Genesis Communication Network. Returning to the story of the murders of Americans in Libya and the protests that also occurred in Egypt, now that both of those countries have transitioned via democracy from being secular to being Islamic theocracies, we see the enragement of Muslims murdering. Just as we saw enraged Muslims murder on 9/11 as suicide bombers. Well, here's the more of the stories from the BBC. Last week, an Egyptian-American Copt, a Copt is a There's a sect of Christianity, a Orthodox sect of Christianity, practiced almost exclusively by Egyptians. It's a vast minority now in Egypt. Any land that is occupied by Islam, the Christian, which was a majority previously, becomes a minority and dwindles to nothing as Islam grows as a cancer. You know, the United States has forced Israel to turn over administration of the West Bank and Gaza to Muslims. At one time, 20% of the population was Christian. Now it's less than 1%. The United States invaded Iraq with the idea of imposing democracy. And now that we have a government that is Islamic and is loyal to the mullahs in Tehran, the 2% of that country that were Christians almost no longer exist. They have been annihilated. Almost everywhere that Islam has the chance to kill Christians, it does. So here's an Egyptian-American Copt known for his broadsides against Muslims, is how this began. Now, can you imagine? You're in Egypt, and for the last 100 years, your people have been systematically harassed, terrorized, raped, robbed, abused, and treated like scum by the Muslims that have come to occupy your country. And that after all of that time and all of the abuse, this BBC journalist has the audacity to say that you've launched broadsides against Muslims as if you're in the wrong. And that protesting against the violence and the terrorism and the rapes and the enslavement and the kidnapping and the robberies that have been perpetrated over these last 100 years against your people, decimating them, is inappropriate. But that's what we have. That is the attitude of the scum of our society who pretend to be journalists. Well, he drew attention to a trailer in an Arabic language blog post and in an email letter to English publicizing, publicizing the latest publicity stunt. Can you just imagine how the victims of Islamic terrorism by this British BBC journalist, it'd be the same if we were reading Reuters or the New York Times, are assailing the victims, saying that, oh, you're responsible for this. These are the victims of Islamic terrorism. A publicity stunt in South Florida with Pastor Terry Jones, who is reviled in the Muslim world for burning copies of the Quran. Yes, Terry Jones is the Christian idiot who decided that the appropriate verdict, he had his own little justice system, and he rendered the judgment without even knowing what the book said of condemning the Quran to death, and therefore he burned them. And Muslims reacted the same way they're reacting now to this film, and they were enraged, and they went off and killed a bunch of people around the world, hundreds of them, because someone burned a copy of their stupid book. Now, mind you, the Quran is the most immoral book ever written, the dumbest book ever written. It's not right from any perspective. It's wrong scientifically. It's wrong historically. It's wrong morally. It's a jumbled mess. It's gibberish. The best that can be said about it is it's poorly plagiarized. And so, with that perspective, this man decided to burn the Quran. My advice when he did so is the same as it is today. Rather than burning the Quran, why don't Americans read it? Why don't they come to understand how repulsive Allah is, that Allah spends all of his time in hell tormenting, torturing those who don't surrender to him? Why don't we come to know Muhammad as he really was? Well, anyway, reached by telephone in Florida, representative of Mr. Jones seemed unaware of the film. But hours later, the pastor sent the Letty a statement by email in which he complained of the attack on the embassy in Cairo and announced plans to screen the trailer for the film on Tuesday night. He said that it reveals in a satirical fashion the life of Muhammad. Yeah. It reveals the life of Muhammad. You know the cartoon that caused Muslims to do the same thing that they have done with the burnings of these Qurans more recently with the cartoon and the Danish publication that showed Muhammad wearing a turban that had a fuse on it and insinuating that Muhammad's words and deeds, his religion, inspired suicide bombings and IEDs, improvised explosive devices. It's a brilliant cartoon. And it, in fact, it is. Suicide bombings today are 99.999% perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims following Muhammad's example. It was a beautiful, elegant way to expose the connection between terrorism and Muhammad. And, of course, they had a conniption fit and they did the same thing, killed people all around the world, murdering them, proving that the cartoon was right by their very deeds. So this is a man who's going to reveal the fact that Muhammad was, as he was, scum. The Coptic activist, Morris Sadek, did not respond to a request for an interview. Why? Why would you want to interview with someone who is clearly your foe, the BBC? Why would the Coptic activist protecting his people want to do an interview with someone who he knows could not be trusted? If you have had any personal involvement with the media, then you know what I know, that they cannot be trusted. Given the choice to report the truth or a lie, they will lie. They deceive. It is almost universal among them. He did the right thing. He says, no, I'm not going to talk to you. But he is an ally of Mr. Jones, which I don't condone either Mr. Jones' religion or Mr. Sedek's religion. As a matter of fact, I'm opposed to both, whether it's fundamentalist Protestant Christianity or fundamentalist Copt Christianity. They're both wrong. They're both misleading their people. But when they speak out against Islam, so long as they do so truthfully, honestly, after having prepared themselves, educated themselves, so they can defend what they have to say, then to that degree, if either man does so, then I applaud them for that. Anyway, it features the a photograph of the two of them at a tiny anti-Islam protest outside the White House in June. And they talk about the screening of the film. Before we continue with this story, I have Larry, who is a man of great character and conviction, a good friend of mine, a good friend of Yahweh. An advocate for the truth on the line, and I'd like to hear from Larry. Go ahead, please, Larry. Join us.
Well, thank you, Yada. I appreciate those kind words. I wanted to point out that wasn't it the media, the very media that you said can't tell the truth about anything, which right. I think is accurate, that advanced the idea of the Arab Spring in Egypt?
Yeah, fanned the flames of it.
Isn't that the very group, weren't we working with the good Al-Qaeda guys while we bombed Tripoli?
Yeah, the same media. Same media that fanned the flames of the Islamic Reformation that's just swept into Tunisia. Same media that spoke in favor of the Arab Spring, the democracy that brought the Muslim Brotherhood to power, and therefore this misleading story in the Egyptian media that led to the deaths of our citizens, our ambassador and his staff, the very media that touted the wrong side, that created the environment that led to the deaths of these Americans, is still on the wrong side.
Isn't this the very media that works with our political actors while they pretend they give us a choice? Isn't that the same group? And why is it that people go out in lockstep like boobs and put bumper stickers on their cars, you know, faces of these political actors, and thus making themselves a boob and supporting the very people that are really destroying them?
You know, it's amazing that the religion of socialist secular humanism, which has as a cancer, has destroyed the ability of those who are active in the media, those who are active in politics, those who are active in our military, those who are engaged in education in America, that those who are completely eaten up inside, where their ability to be moral, their ability to exercise good judgment is utterly destroyed by the religion of socialist secular humanism. That they have allied together to... Let me finish this one thought, Larry. They have allied together academia, the media, our politicians have all allied together for the purpose of perpetrating this lie, and they're all on the sides of the very murderers. They created and abetted the environment that led to the deaths of our citizens, and now they wring their hands and say, oh, that's really bad. We should seek justice against those people who did this. They did it. They themselves did it.
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. I want to point something out. As you know, my wife's Iranian.
Yes.
Okay.
Former Muslim.
She is a former Muslim.
Yes.
She's no longer a Muslim. She actually is a follower of Yah. But I want to point something out. 80% of the Iranian people are either agnostic or atheist, and 20% are hardcore Muslims. Now, that happens to be the group that's in charge.
Yes.
But who put them there? You know, when the Shah...
America.
Yeah, exactly.
America.
The Shah, the king of Iran, would no longer give oil contracts to the West. He said, no, he wanted those for his people. Suddenly, he was gone. They flew Ayatollah Khomeini in and destroyed 83 million lives. Just like that.
Yes. Jimmy Carter.
People, yeah, absolutely. And then... I don't know if most people are aware of this. They had a bunch of Iranians riot over in Beverly Hills and burnt their home, their personal home in Beverly Hills, to the ground. And when the queen called and said, you know, they're attacking our home, our servants are scared, they said, well, there's nothing we can really do about it.
Yeah, but it's not only Jimmy Carter, who's the very president who created al-Qaeda and who promoted the Taliban. It's not only Jimmy Carter. It's the presidents who have followed him, and we'll cover that story when we come back to Shattering Myths in just a moment. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths, the program on the Genesis Communication Network. I am your host, Yada, and we are attempting to shatter one of the most vital myths in the world today. That is that Islam is a good and noble religion, and that we aren't at war with Islam, that our politicians and our military leaders, our media, tell us the truth. Collectively, all of these things are deadly. And if we do not have more people willing to do what Larry and I are attempting to do this morning, which is to expose and condemn the religion of Islam effectively, which this film does, and we do not uphold people willing to risk their lives to reveal a film like this and to tell the truth about Muhammad, Sharia law, Islam, the Quran, Allah, and therefore understand the reason that Muslims are terrorists, and that 99.9% of the terrorist acts perpetrated in the world today are perpetrated by Muslims, and that the Islamic countries are the most impoverished, least civil places on earth to live, then we are continuing to allow this horrible cancer to kill. Larry, we were talking about the fact that the media fanned the flames of this Arab Spring that led to the deaths of those Americans, and yet they take no responsibility for it.
But absolutely, they never do. You know, it's like they move on next week. You know, weren't we fighting a war against al-Qaeda, the very people that, you know, we originally funded and set up, Jimmy Carter and Brezhnev and all those guys? And then we turn around and we work with al-Qaeda to help overthrow Libya.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on in this country?
Yeah.
What is going on? And I think they laugh about it, that they get you and me to pay for it.
Yeah, what's amazing here is that it's absolutely true. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was National Security Advisor at the time, wrote a letter to Jimmy Carter and met with him to say that that the smart thing to do is we'd go to Pakistan, who had already created the Taliban for the purpose of disrupting and controlling Afghanistan. They had created the Taliban for that express purpose. It was an agency of the ISI, their version of the CIA. And Zbigniew Brzezinski says, if we go to the Taliban and there's this new group that's working with the Taliban called Al-Qaeda, if we go to them and we fund them and we equip them and we arm them through Pakistan, which controls them, if we do that, we can give the Soviets a taste of what they gave us in Vietnam, and we can create a civil war. Now, that civil war killed 2 million Afghanis. It was a horrible thing, but what it did is it created Al-Qaeda, and it made the Taliban powerful. We created this enemy. Those very Mujahideen and jihadists who fought against the Soviets using American weapons in Afghanistan are the very same individuals who came back to Libya after the Great Jihad, as they called it, to fight against Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, and we armed them again.
Yeah, and don't they call that blowback? Isn't that what they call this?
Yes.
Blowback.
Yes, blowback. We created our own enemy, and then they used our weapons and our enriching and equipping this terrible cancer that is jihad and mujahideen. And they used our weapons against our citizens, and yet there isn't a single politician willing to say, I'm sorry. Jimmy Carter's still alive, so is Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Obama said he was sorry. He said he was sorry to the Muslims.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, we said that we're sorry that somebody would write such an offensive film against Islam as opposed to the fact that we aided and abetted. We aided and abetted the very murderers of our citizens, and we take no accountability for it.
100%. You know, that brings me to a moral equivalency argument. That's something I can't stand.
Yes.
I can't stand a moral equivalency argument. And, you know, people look at Israel today. Israel's this tiny little country surrounded by, you know, five enemies. But I mean,
yes.
Let's get right down to it.
Yeah.
These five enemies would, especially now Egypt, would love to see Israel wiped off the face of the map. I've seen writings where, you know, that and you were in a book that you had written, Yada, it talked about one of the head clerics saying, why don't you grab their women? Why don't you rape their women? They're yours.
Right.
You know, this
because that's what the Quran,
Muslims.
It's what the Quran teaches. It's what Muhammad
Absolutely.
Did. And that is what Sharia law says. And yet, here is this president of the United States and the media apologizing and blaming these individuals for creating a film that tells the truth. As if it's their fault that the Muslims who we equipped, who we empowered, who we armed, who we authorized and legitimized, murdered our own citizens. And as a people, we don't get it. It's the end of our program today. I thank you for listening to Shattering Myths on the Genesis Communication Network. Have a good day.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live.